I want to read just one verse of scripture in the text which I'm going to bring this evening. The subject of the meeting is the announcement from John the Baptist. But is that verse 29? A well-known statement in the scriptures. John 1 verse 29 tells us the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, and these are the words, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I think one of the saddest things that I can think of is that people go out into a lost eternity without Christ. People that we know go out unsaved. People that we know that reject God. And I believe it is one of the saddest things when we see people with no inclination, no thought, no consideration for the things of God, live their life, and die in their sin. I remember a number of years ago having to go to a home to take a funeral. At funeral service, I was met at the door. I didn't know the family, and they weren't in the community which I was ministering in. And I was asked to go to this house and take this funeral service. And as I did, I was met at the door by the woman, the man's wife. He says, my husband wasn't saved, but he knew the scripture inside out and found his own way to heaven. And as I went into that home, I was met with that again and again. He wasn't saved, but he knew his own way to heaven. He could quote the scripture. He could tell you what, if you started reading a verse, he would continue on. He had a great mind for the things of this world, and he had a great mind in the things which he did. But she said he died without Christ, but knew his own way to heaven. I think that's sad. People living their life, living it their own way, and if they died in their sin, going out into God's eternity without God. But I've no doubt that as we bring the Word of God is able to change lives. And I believe that through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, that I've no doubt that the Word of God is there to reach the hearts of men and women. I believe, looking at John the Baptist is, in my mind, he's one of the greatest preachers in the whole of the scriptures. I know men would say Apostle Paul and everything else. I enjoy Paul as well. But apart from Christ, I believe John the Baptist is one of the greatest men in scriptures. A heart for the people. A heart for the things of God. And he presented the message of God no matter what people said. But as John the Baptist begins this passage of scripture and begins to tell the people here, he begins looking to them and saying, this is the Christ. This is the Lamb of God. He comes with no doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as he looked and saw that Jesus was there, he knew that Christ came to do the work. He knew that he was a forerunner. But he knew that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we look at John the Baptist this evening, we're going to see this announcement. And the reason why I believe he presented this announcement was not only for the people to hear, but because he believed it with all his heart. And he says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is unique here. We present the gospel because we believe in our heart, because Christ done a work in our own lives. But John the Baptist was right there. And as John the Baptist was there, he was witnessing of what Christ was able to do. And he witnesses because he believes that this is the blessed Son of God. And he testifies. You know, John would soon face death. But so will each and every one of us. But I believe that it's important that each one of us know exactly where we are going. I'll say it again. A poor, wretched sinner, saved by the mercy and grace of God. And I can praise God for his goodness, but John the Baptist could do so too. He was there as Christ walked on earth, He knew him. He saw him live. He experienced God's hand upon his life. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Then he points to the God-man, Jesus Christ. He says, behold. As I said, I want to speak on the announcement from John the Baptist. And there's a number of things we're finding in this passage of Scripture. I trust that there will be an encouragement to you. I trust that they will speak to you. The first announcement is found in verse 20 or 29. It's that verse, it's that word that says, behold. And John the Baptist, in that verse 29, it says, and the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold. It was an announcement or a proclamation that this is something that the people should look to, that there should be a consideration of what he's telling them to look at. It is a joyous message as proclaimed, that in the time that is set aside, that Christ should come to be baptized, they should behold him. That they should behold him. And John is being questioned earlier in the passage. Are you the Christ? Are you the one who's sent? And he's pressed for answers. And you can see that up earlier in the passage we didn't read. It says in verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. But then he says, behold. I am not the Christ, but if only for a moment of time you will behold this one who is amongst us. I am not the Christ. They ask him many other questions. He says, although I am not the Christ, there is one who is. And if only they had listened to him carefully, back in verse 26 and verse 27, they would have understood that Christ was already amongst them. Because it tells us in verse 26, and John answered them saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And there we find in that passage, he says, he presents to them the good news of the gospel and presents to them Jesus Christ, but they didn't listen carefully. And then as they come again, he gazes his eyes on Christ and John. It says the very next day in that verse number 29, John goes a little further. He says, now I mentioned you, there's one amongst you, but behold him. He says, just gaze your eyes, for he required of them to do something. And for the unsaved person, God requires of us to behold him, to look and we shall live. And they inquired of him about Christ. But praise God, God's timing is always perfect. And the next day, Christ comes to be baptized. And when John sees him, when John gazes his eyes upon him, he says to the people, behold. You see, John wanted to bring something to their attention, that the people needed a clearer indication of what or who was before them. They had asked about those things, and John just says, behold, drawing their attention to the one away from himself and drawing their attention to the one he had confidence who was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could do this because he believed in his heart. But he also recognized that the people didn't know who Jesus was. We read that in verse 20. They didn't know. Something that's missing today that was there, at least they asked. They wanted to know. Sadly, today there's not many that want to know. But God's still the same God, as I mentioned this morning. He's still able to do that work to draw people. But here we find that they ask him. And on many occasions, maybe he was in amongst their presence, but they were blinded to those things. And they were blinded by their sin. John says, just behold. Who did they have to behold? The one that already had been standing amongst them. But there standeth one among you whom ye knew not. They've met him. He's been there in their presence. They needed to turn to him. John just continues to show them. He says, you don't know him, but there is one. And I want you just to behold him because he's worthy. I'm not even worthy to do anything whatsoever. It says, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. I'm not worthy. But worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And he looks to them and says, there's one I want you to behold. Here he speaks of the Messiah that comes. And we think of how that he believed in his heart. He believed the message that there was one coming after him. And he believed that there was a reason that he could announce to these people with confidence about Jesus, because he knew him personally. Remember back in, you don't have to turn to it, but in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, Mary's coming to Elizabeth, and how he's coming to Elizabeth on that occasion. The Bible says in verse number 41, and it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. This is John. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with a loud voice, said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in the womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. She knew, and John knew. John knew this young man. John knew, and he leaped in his womb when he heard of the Savior. And John knew this man was Jesus. He knew Christ from his youth. He saw his life, he had confidence in knowing him, he had confidence in his abilities, and he had confidence of who he was. No wonder John could just say, behold, because he knew Christ was the answer. And he tells him exactly, he testifies exactly of who he was. And the truth is, all John wanted was that they would behold him. For those which are saved this evening, is that not what we have? We're bringing forth the message of the gospel to tell the people to just behold the wonders of God, the blessings which God has for us in saving grace. Behold the Lamb of God, behold. Yes, he gives that first announcement, behold, but secondly, he gives another announcement. He says, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. As he mentions the Lamb, he's thinking of a spotless Lamb. And when he sounds out this announcement, he does so with the thought of the people of Israel, because their minds would have been sent back to whenever Israel were to put the Lamb. The Lamb was to be shed, the spotless Lamb, as it was presented in Egypt. And there they would be reminded back to the sacrifice of the Lamb. They were reminded of the Passover. Reminded back in Egypt how God did that work through the and how they needed the spotless Lamb to do the work. Not one with had blemishes, but without blemish. And the children of Israel would know that when he spoke of a Lamb, it would be a Lamb that would be without failure. A Lamb that would bring them from the brink of their times of failure. Would bring them from the brink of disaster. And John reminds them that this Lamb was spotless. This Lamb was required. He reminds them that it's not just a Lamb, but the Lamb was needed for a sacrifice. He reminds them that the Lamb was taken. And as the Lamb was taken, it was a perfected Lamb. Spotless Lamb. Yes, that reminds them of Egypt. Yes, it reminds them of that great day. It reminds them that there was a requirement of God, shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And he reminds them of the shedding of the blood that was needed back in that day. Such was the case today. And John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of safety. He reminds them without the shedding of the blood on the doorsteps of their hearts, they won't know God. He reminds them with these words that the shedding of blood upon the doorsteps was a sign of an act of grace of God. He reminds them of the mercy of God on their behalf. And such is today, where God sent his Son to the world to die on the cross. Such was the mercy which God giveth. God giveth. You mentioned this morning of Habakkuk. He asked for God to revive the work. He says in wrath, remember mercy. We look here and they're reminded of mercy. They're reminded of what God did on their behalf, on their homes and their families. They're reminded of the purity of the Lamb. They're reminded of how that this is required by God. And the same words about the Lamb, John brings him to the attention of the one who he knew to be the Lamb of God, and that was Jesus. He reminded them of the one who was the blessed Son of God, and he says, "Behold the Lamb." John was very outspoken. We all know how he spoke out. And I have no doubt that when he was speaking here, John wasn't saying, in a muffled voice, "Behold the Lamb," but he was pointing and he was showing with as much as he could, "I want you people just to behold him. Behold the Lamb. Because you need to see him. You need to know him." And he reminds of that the work that they need to do is they need to turn from themselves, because when they beheld him, the Lamb, when they gazed upon him, they had to look away from other things. And they had to gaze on him. There's none other that can save, and we need to gaze away from ourselves, and we need to gaze towards the blessed Lamb. And whenever they would gaze, they would realize, and they would find that he's more than they ever would need. He's everything that they need to bring them to God. Can you say this evening that he is my everything and he is my Lord? Can you say this evening that I know him, that he loved me and gave his life for me and for my sins, and through his precious blood I've been set free and I beheld the Lamb? If you had that occasion in your life, if you come to behold the Lamb. There's another thing in this passage of Scripture, the third part of the announcement, as John says in this verse 29. And remember, John says, it says, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he says, "Behold the Lamb." And these are wonderful words of God. He left them without doubt of who the Lamb was of God. He left them without doubt that this was of God. It wasn't of man. It wasn't something that someone had drawn up for themselves, but this was of God. And he looks at him and he presents to them the Lamb of God. Here he's proclaiming the Lamb is from God alone. And he's proclaiming that he is no doubt that the Lamb is of God. He's no doubt with what he knows within his own heart. He's no doubt of looking and gazing upon Jesus, that he is the one who saves people from their sins. And he looks at him and he says, "This is what you are to behold, the Lamb of God." And if the people were to be with God in glory someday, they had to first look at the Lamb and trust in him. The Lamb of God. And this is indicated to them, the one who he is presenting or drawing to their attention. He says, not only is this a Lamb, but it's of God. It is of God. It's appointed of God, meaning it's approved of God. Christ was approved of God. Christ was approved of God. He was sent by God to save a people from their sins. Remember what Christ said in John 10. "I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly." That's who John was speaking about. Remember, we looked here and say the third part, his announcement was, it was of God. Just to give you a clear indication of that, look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4, it is one of my favorite verses in the Scripture. Not only is it favorite verses in the Scripture, but maybe our brother here remembers the verse of Scripture he got whenever he was to preach before those examination board. This was the verse of Scripture I was given as well to preach. And it was the words here. Galatians 1, verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world," and it's the last part here I want you to listen to, according to the will of God our Father. He was given, the Lamb of God was given. He was given according to the will of God. And for the believer, you have encouragement here. Our Father. Our Father. But John just says that this is the Lamb of God. And he's telling the people here, I've got good news to tell. Now, yes, he's given himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. But as he's saying here and presenting the good news, he says, this is the Christ. This is the one. This is the Redeemer. This is the Messiah you've been looking for. And John says, this is the Savior. I said at the beginning, he gives a testimony. He does. He's testifying of what he knows to be true. And he wants the people to understand that God is able to deliver them as well. And he tells them, just trust him. Just look to the Lamb of God. And he will deliver you from your sins. There's a fourth part. In this verse of scripture, it says, not only behold the Lamb of God, but it says, which taketh away? Which taketh away? Some people, some commentators say the words which also means that taketh away. And it's drawing us to a confirmation that God was able to do the work and did the work. And that God proclaimed it and God did it. And we find here that this is the Savior that which taketh the sins, taketh away. And this shows us here that there needs something to be removed. We know that our sins and iniquities, the Bible says, you remember no more. How? When we get saved, and when we get saved, we trusted him. But there must be that trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And it shows us that there needs to be something removed. It's not just that there would be looking and that's all over, but we have to trust him. We have to trust in what Christ can do. And we have to seek him that he'll remove our sins. That our sins and our iniquities, that he says, I will remember no more. But we must look to him who taketh away. Taketh away. And that part of that message shows us that there's intent. There's something that needs to be required. Something that needs to be done. There's an intent for the cause to occur. And that intent is that there will be a trusting in the one who John is saying, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And John just calls upon them, look to Christ and be saved. And that intent is brought to them because they need to have their sins forgiven. Why did John think that? Because he knew they didn't know. He wasn't judging them. He wasn't saying, well, I know that you're a sinner. I can see it with my eyes. No, John knew they were asking questions. John knew they didn't know the Savior. But just as they didn't know the Savior, he was presenting the one who was the Savior. And their sin marred or kept them from coming to God. But John says it's the Lamb of God that taketh away. That's him. Just the same Lamb that was spoken of in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 53, and you know the verses. And look at verse 4, and I'll read it to you. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. You see, God did a work on people's behalf, but there's a great need. Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He brings them back to the thoughts of God. That Christ would do the work on their behalf when he mentioned all those things before it. They recognize that this is what John is saying, that he's presenting them the one that would bear all our griefs, the one that would be afflicted because of us, and the one who would present that need because we had such a great need. And he's, as it were, reminding them what it says in verse 6. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But this lamb would not only be the lamb, not only the lamb that's there before them, but would take away the sins, the iniquities which they had in their lives. And God lays it on him. And what it means there is that God takes the charge away from us and puts it on him. Do you know what that is? That's mercy. That's mercy. There's many a person which lives in their sin. Maybe their family members are crying for mercy. I think of an old story where a mother cried to Napoleon and asked him for mercy for her son. He was going to kill him. And the crime which he had committed, he asked for mercy. His mother came and she says, I need to have mercy. And as Napoleon gazed upon her, he says, I can't. Because your son does not deserve mercy. And she says, yeah, that's mercy. When it's undeserved. You know something? That's what God does. We don't deserve the mercy of God. But God presents it. There's mercy at the foot of the rugged cross. There's mercy for you and me. But there's a fifth announcement I want to bring to your attention. And it says in that part of the scriptures, verse 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin. Here John points them to the need that they need to acknowledge. Acknowledge that they have sinned before a holy and righteous God. Acknowledge that they have come, that they need to come the way that God proclaims that they need to come. That they need to come just the way they are. I know that you all, people here, you love to sing the hymns and love to sing the words of them. But I wonder, do you ever think of the song, the meanings behind some of them? We're often considered the words of just as I am. Charlotte Elliot wrote those words. Charlotte Elliot didn't like the things of God in her life. She didn't like how her home was filled with preachers and missionaries. It happened to be that when the missionary came over, that was the home they stayed in. Whenever a minister needed dinner, that was the home they went to. She hated it all her life. She didn't like those things. But yet one man came from Germany. He came and chatted. And as he was leaving, that missionary was going away that day. She said, how do I get saved? He said, just come the way you are. 33 years of age, Charlotte Elliot, she went to her bed and she cried unto God just the way she was and wrote those wonderful words, just as I am, without one plea. But that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. You see, there had to be the acknowledgement that they needed to come just the way they are, that they've sinned before God and come to God just as a sinner needing to be saved by grace. That's what John's telling him. He'll take away your sins. And if they only looked to him just like their forefathers of old would look to the Lamb in days of Egypt, that they would be able in this day to look and acknowledge their wretchedness in their own lives and look to the Savior, acknowledging him who he is and what he could do for them. Just as if there's one person here gathered in the meeting and you're outside of Christ this evening, you know not Christ as your own and personal Savior, you need to come this evening and need to confess that you're a sinner before God. And you say, preacher, how do I get saved? Exactly the way you are. Just come the way you are and realize and tell it. And tell God your need. Let God know that you're a sinner. Acknowledge before God that you're wretched before God and you're in need of his salvation. Just come. Knowing that God can save you from your sins. Let me show you what Christ can do in a life. You see, the Bible gives us clarity as well. Not only with John here, but do you ever think of the words which Christ presents to his disciples? Christ tells the disciples that they are to go forth. He tells them that he tries to encourage them. He tells them to tell people there needs to be repentance of their sins. He tells them that they need to look to God, because the Lord is faithful to save us. You know the wonderful words in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is just faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, God is faithful. No matter what you've done, God is just. And if you will only look to him, look to Christ, you will know what it means to be born again, to be cleansed from your sin, as John's saying here. No matter what you've done, come to Christ this evening, because what you need is forgiveness of sins. Sixthly, and finally this evening, the sixth part of John's announcement, it says, taketh away the sin of the world. There's a gospel message which goes out into the people of this land. It says there's a message which you need to hear in this old world. And John's speaking to the people all around about him, those that hear him and those that will be told the message that he says. He says, it's a message that needs to go out around the place, and it needs to go out to you and I. He was speaking to the people that needed to hear the word, and the people who were right in front of him, and to people that are here tonight that need to hear God's word being preached. Meaning God's grace is extended to you. But just as John was turning his attention to the people, to the Savior, I do the same this evening. For many will claim, I know the way, but never find God. I want to bring you to the way, the truth, and the life. Remember, Jesus said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you find that in John chapter 14, verse 6. But for you this evening, I want to give you clarity. I want to leave you in no doubt. I want to bring you clarity as we come to the close of our meeting this evening. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Here we're finding that no one can save us but Christ alone. In Hebrews 10, verse 11, it says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away the sins. Verse 12, but this man, who? The one who John says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. And as he sits at the right hand of God, he will return one day. It tells us down in verse 13, read it for yourself. And continues on in these verses of scripture. You see, John was standing there. And John was faithful. He just told them, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Plainly, just look. Just look to Jesus. For he's the one that can do all the work that is required for you. If you'll only look, then you will live. Let me close with the following story, which happened in 1987. In 1987, there was 563 people, men, women, and children, was boarded a ship called the Herald of Free Enterprise. On the 6th of March of that year, 1987, it set off from Belgium across the English Channel towards Dover. The people were excited. They were joyful. The ship was in great shape. The people had much to do, and such was the joy in their hearts as they went across that English Channel. People did not know what was ahead for them in that time. Unfortunately, there was in many a heart no thought for the one that John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." The people looked forward to their great adventure, but what happened next was not in their thoughts. As they left that port not long after they went off, that the ship left Belgium, that ship began to take on water. The decks began to be flooded. Sadly, on that day, 193 people lost their lives. It reminds us that life at best is very brief, like a falling off a leaf, be in time. Thankfully, the rescue crew came from nearby areas and they risked their own lives for the saving of many others. But 193 people went out into God's eternity in a moment. I don't know their hearts. I don't know the situation with them. But I know that if it was you or I, you're leaving this gospel evening service, you need to know God. And you could go out of this building, and I'm not saying this just to try and scare you, but you could leave this building, go across that road, and you could go into God's eternity. But where will you spend eternity? With God or without Him? Because this evening you've been asked to behold the Lamb of God. You see, the same was said of John the Baptist. Although these people risked their lives, so did John the Baptist. He risked his life. He risked everything for the people. His life had no great rapport amongst the people, yet everyone knew everything about him. His life was just as a pauper in many persons' minds, and he risked all. And he had a short life, but he was just there to present the message to the people. Tell them about the person of Jesus Christ, the same person I'm presenting this evening. He said, "Behold the Lamb." What am I telling you? Behold the Lamb of God. Look to Jesus. Maybe you think I've got it all under control, but in one moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we do not know what our tomorrow is. So I urge you to be ready for heaven. For no one knows the hour, no one knows the day, the moment of their death. So as we close this evening, I encourage you to prepare to meet God. Look to the Savior this evening and come to Jesus without delay. You go home this evening saying, "I have beheld the Lamb who's taken away my sins." My sins. And he says, "The sins of iniquities will I remember no more." Praise God. He remembers no more. Let's close our meeting with a word of prayer.